This episode is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative project to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code WOW7.
Reforging.
You are listening to The Instance.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 332. My name is Scott Johnson. I am joined by Terpster. Hello, Terpster.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Mm,
332. That's one episode away from only having to use one number for the number of times that number represents. How freaky is that?
Hadn't thought about it until you said
it. It won't happen for another 1,111 episodes.
Yeah, think about that.
You
think
that's crazy.
Do a little predicting here. Do you think that's even possible? Do you think of 1,000 episodes?
Will WoW go on that long? Possibly. Will we go on that long? I highly doubt it.
Seems
doubtful.
I can't
wait till we play it back to ourselves. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, Scott, do you remember when I said that all those years ago? And you're like, what's up? So it only works out to be like, you know. I don't know.
A couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, something
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Since we went to a daily show format, not that long.
Yeah, but, right. Actually, the daily thing does help because like the morning show, which is only 2 years old, is at like 450 or something.
So it's the morning stream called the morning show.
It's the morning stream, the morning. I call it the morning show internally. It's the morning stream to you and me.
You like to call it the morning show to make it sound more legit. The morning stream, which sounds a little bit childish.
Well, let's put it this way. See, this is the funny thing. I'm a little bit like Tobias on Arrested Development. I say things and create things sometimes very unintentionally, either stupid sounding, juvenile, or sexual without trying to. It's not like my intent. Yeah. So this is the honest truth. No one ever believes me when I say it, but I'll say it one more time. When I came up with the name for the morning stream, which part of it was a nice short acronym for TMS. I like TMS. It rolls off the tongue. It was all about the idea that we would be streaming it every morning live to a bunch of people in an audience.
Nothing to relate to that first urination.
Nothing.
That you often find.
Absolutely nothing intended there. Awakening. Now, pretty quickly after that, it became clear because people would say things and it hit me like, oh, yeah, well, I guess there's that. But it was never
the
intent.
I thought it was because it was just an endless flow of stuff that went straight down the toilet. Well, and yet here we are, like with more episodes than The Instance,
right?
And arguably actually more entertaining,
right?
So it was someone sent through an email to The Instance saying that I should come on one day and we just answer one question hypothetically.
Yeah, that would bring back hypothetical.
And I was like,
help.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know. Did you record too early or too late? I don't know when.
Well,
we record
at 10 a.m. or 8 a.m. to about 9:30 a.m. every morning, my time. I have no idea what that's.
Utarian time.
Well,
so
isn't it?
Hang on.
Well, hold on. If we did it at
it's
10,
5:20 p.m.
Yeah.
To say it in the weirdest way ever, right now for me, and I'm guessing it's 10.
So if we did it an hour ago, that would be your time. What, 4:30 your time?
Just be so strange. Yeah.
And you at that time you're shackled to a desk and
I know I'm still waking up.
Right.
But I think that is the best way to enjoy said show.
Right.
So if people out here are listening to The Instance live,
right.
If you listen just an hour or two earlier on every day bar The Instance day, because Scott's like, I ain't doing two shows in one day, you know, in his American voice, then you could listen to the morning stream.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Which has
indeed.
Some good stuff on it. Has some very good things on it.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite things we do, along with The Instance, and it's probably my of the two shows. If I had to put them up, I would probably put them up in the light equally. I enjoy them both about the same.
Really?
Yeah,
so
I think that
well on the old morning stream.
I think it goes morning stream, Instance, and Film Sack are all kind of in this. I hold them all in the same regard.
Yeah,
that is not to say anything else I do is crap or anything like that. I like everything else, but I really enjoy those
you know,
three.
But it's just not quite as good though. That's the problem.
Oh, I see. I see how it is. So you're recently back to Bristol after a whirlwind weekend. Well, really, like a week here in Salt Lake City.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. He was a fantastic house guest once again while you were here at the house.
I put the seat down. I know a lot of people were really pleased for me for that, so that was really good.
At least four.
What else did I do? Yeah. I mean, admittedly, I did urinate all over the seat, right, which I got frowned at. But I didn't know that it was – I thought it was an either-or thing.
Right.
And I thought, obviously, everyone always goes on about leaving the seat up.
Yeah.
And I thought, nah, just leave it down and just go for it. and you know, after being on a plane for like 15 hours, your aim gets a little bit rusty.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. And I think it's the difference in altitude and the air pressure and the time difference.
Right.
So, yeah.
I meant to ask you. So Nerdtacular, which was this big, you know, we had our big Frog Pants event and you and Dills and a bunch of people were there. And Dills, by the way, is sick today. That's why he's not here. Probably from the event. Who knows? But we got up to this place called Snowbird, which is this beautiful mountain resort. And it's about 8,400 feet above sea level. Mm. And I was curious, even though you'd kind of acclimated a little bit the house a few days beforehand, which is about 4,000 feet above sea level. Did that affect you? I never asked you while you were up there. Did that affect you? You know, because you're down near the seagull freaking.
I think I'm on the sea. I think. I don't know.
Hmm. You're about zero sea level or something right now.
I guess so. I think I'm pretty much in danger of being flooded by the sea.
Because the word is that you got with a group of people just pretty quickly after we got there on Thursday last week to start the big thing on Friday. A group
I
of
was
people
busy helping out everyone. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
and people whisked you away to go up on this tram, which takes you to about 11,000 feet. And 11,000 feet is a lot different than 8,000 feet in terms of, you know, if you're not used to it, especially if you're from
thinness of the air.
Oh yeah.
I definitely felt it coming back down. Strangely enough.
Oh weird.
When I came back down, I possibly came down too quick.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was different.
Because the way the story was told to me is
I am apparently 59 meters above sea level. So right. What's that in feet?
Oh, space points. I don't know. Let's see.
So it's three times up by three, about 150 feet.
Oh, okay. Above sea level. Okay. So that's a lot. You are
lower.
So
you are 8,000 feet.
Yeah. And you were at one point 11,000 feet. So the story that came back to me was we took Terpster up there, and the minute we put foot down up on top of there and you could see pretty much the entire Rocky Mountains from every direction, that you like turned around and like immediately wanted to get back on the tram and go back down.
No, I mean, the problem I find, and I feel World of Warcraft is responsible for this, it spoiled me in terms of fantastic vistas.
Yeah.
And so I got up there, and I don't know if I'm just different to everyone else, but I can't imagine it. I think I just don't appreciate things as much.
Right.
But I got up there and I was like, I've seen it now. I am done. I would like to go back down. Because it wasn't like, I don't get the whole sort of just, I'm going to drink this in.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that mountain. Still look at that mountain. Keep looking at that mountain.
Right. Right.
Ooh. Because I'm like, I've been to space, you know, I've been to different planets, right. I've seen like volcanoes.
Right.
You know, and that's all thanks to, you know, games like World of Warcraft.
You're saying video games, they have lessened your ability to take in natural wonders. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know if they've lessened it or if they've just kind of been to a point now where, you know, I've seen better things.
Mm.
So maybe I don't think I was terribly different before.
Yeah.
But I don't think it being real makes it that much more beautiful than something someone's created.
Interesting. That's a very interesting point of view I'd never considered.
So yeah, and also it's very high up.
Yeah.
So equally as well, it's like I'm done.
I gotta get
but
down.
Yeah, so coming back down. But I tell you what the best thing is you don't need to drink as much. Even Utarian ales, which are kind of, you know, watered down for the sake of keeping your behavior in line. I was thinking like, this is still working for me. This is good.
Yeah.
So
that's
yeah.
good. Well, I'm glad you came. I'm glad everybody came. We had a fantastic time. It was fun to shake hands with so many Instance listeners, so many guild members who were in attendance there. And you guys were all very gracious and kind. And it was much, much appreciated. And of course, having you there and having Dills there. Although Dills and I talk about this all the time, but I literally saw Dills for about 5 minutes outside the panels. I just never saw Dills. He and I were never in the same place.
Dills was great though. Dills ran a pool tournament. They ran a golf thing, but Dills kind of slept in due to the partying the night before.
Right.
But I think Dills handled himself with extreme kind of professionalism.
Yeah.
There's a great picture of him and the band same-sex Mary,
yeah.
The front man from there, both of them with their pants off, just enjoying life.
Right.
And,
not at all inebriated.
Just high on life.
Right.
And probably the altitude as well.
Uh-huh.
It's, it's really good. But we had an amazing time, and it was truly magical. Russell was fantastic. Russell really kind of surprised me because I didn't know he was going to do the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he might just rock up, do a panel, maybe stick around for the rest of that day or head out again and, high five some people and be done.
Yeah.
But he really did, get up there and, kind of contributed, took loads of pictures, signed everything.
Yep.
And I think that was great. I really love it.
People brought their, people are smart enough to bring, in their cars, people who drove, they brought copies of, Blizzard's music collection stuff. Like what was that one set called? That CD set, whatever it was.
The Echoes of War.
That was the one. And they just happened to have them in their car. They didn't know Russell was going to be there because we kept it a relative surprise. Some people guessed, but for the most part, nobody knew. And so they were smart enough to bring those. They ran out to their cars, ran back in, cornered Russell, and had him sign these awesome music collections, and he was happy to do so and was great on the panel, as people heard a few days ago when I posted that. So anyway, I can't say enough about Russell. John LeGrave was also there. He's a developer at Blizzard who works on the WoW team and actually interviewed back in 2011, having no idea that his girlfriend, Julia, who's also awesome and was there last year, I had no idea they were coming, and there they were. That was
exactly.
Great. Very nice surprise.
It was it's always good. It's always good.
Yeah.
I think, again, a few people kind of spotted John as well and was, got him to sign stuff, Blizzard things, because we were giving out Blizzard swag.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of, obviously, the attendees have Blizzard things.
Yeah.
So a few messenger bags and stuff like that got signed.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It was cool to have that kind of support and just appreciate all the stuff Blizzard sent us that we gave away. We gave away tons of collector's editions and all kinds of crap from Blizzard, and they're always so generous that way. We threw shirts out in the crowd that Blizzard also sent us, and
nice as well to see our favorite Blizzard employee as well, Mr. Randy.
Yeah,
Jordan.
Of course, Randy was there. Yep,
and that was fantastic as always to see him and. It's good. He's just got such a delicious voice.
It really does.
It's something that just, he talks a bit slow and you just kind of want to drink it in.
Yeah, it's a little
and
bit.
And Scott, I will tell you, Scott, the most beautiful thing I ever have heard is Randy Jordan talking to you.
Your American accent is
I can't
so
do
bad.
It very well. Randy does Randy better. He really does.
It was
beautiful to see him. Will's grown up so quick.
Yeah, he's like a little weed, that little
he's
kid.
He's like a little person now.
Yeah.
With actual words and stuff, it's crazy. Yeah. It's anyway, so Nerdtacular's just, I don't know if we're really kind of communicating this well, because I'm probably not, but it's such a magical thing, and it's so great to kind of get together.
Yeah.
And it's just, I love it so much.
It's a pretty special thing that's very hard to explain. If you listen to the panels, you get a taste of it, but really it's just this personal, up-close, awesome way to interact.
Yeah, I think you will, actually. I think you will understand it by attending and attending only, really.
I kind of agree.
I've yet to find a community online that is as warm and welcoming and amazing and kind of up for fun, but at the same time, just awesomely well-behaved.
Yep.
Everyone's just, it's amazing. It truly is.
It really is. Tom Merritt once said, you get the chat room you deserve, and apparently we deserve this kind of crowd, and we appreciate them immensely, so... can't wait to do it again. We're already talking about our plans next year. We'll keep you guys informed.
Normally I just get Batman, but that's because he's the chat room I need rather than the chat room I deserve. So.
Right. It's a good way to put it. Anyways, thank you all once again. That's the last we'll save it for a while, but we did want to thank everybody here on the show because so many of you listened to the instance and so many of you were there, and we just really, really appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. Let's get to the news.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
So there actually was some big news. All of this brought to you by Typefrag. Oh, I know. Typefrag.com giving you the best. .com. What am I saying?
.com. It's the king service.
Oops. They are the best venture service on the planet. You need a Ventrilo server for your guild, then look no further than Typefrag.com. All right. World of Warcraft is going to test in-game payments. This just in, and also pretty much what I predicted multiple times on this program over the years, that Blizzard would eventually start dipping their toe here, probably start in Asia. Makes sense.
Where it's the thing is, this is the big difference is the in-game element to this, and that Blizzard sold premium stuff before.
Right.
And so, like, mounts and pets, they've sold since, what, 2008?
Sure.
You could
count among that race changes, faction changes, all those things.
Exactly.
Kind of fit
all of those things. And so, really, they bolster their subscription figures hugely already. And what would be really interesting is to see how the microtransactions they have present for cosmetic items and server utilities and stuff like that, how is that ranks up against subscriptions.
Right. You just have and racks also, on the mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Sorry. but in Asia, they've always had a different model. They don't pay by the month.
Right.
They pay by, like, the hour or the... I don't know what it is. I've never been there. I don't know.
I think you can buy... correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember doing a bunch of stuff where we were doing some research for the show, and they were talking about how in Asia, if you wanted that sword that would drop from so-and-so boss, you could pay for it and just get the damn sword.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like they went full-on straight up to... And this is something I don't think they'll ever do here, but I think you could buy straight-up gear in parts of Asia.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Like, if I sound tentative, it's because it's been a while, but I remember...
I always thought it was like... I literally thought it was just like literally just smaller segments of time. So like you could buy like 20 hours.
I think there's that too. I think there's that for sure. I think that exists and still does. But I swear there was a time where you could literally buy stuff. And in these parts of the world, things like world first don't really matter. Like there are different motivations to playing the game. A lot of it is like a more of a cosmetic experience. And I think those things were expensive. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like you could just go, all right, well, I'm paying for an hour and that's $10 in US dollars, but then I'm also going to buy this sword and that's only 15. Like, I think they were a lot, it was a lot of money to buy those things, but there was that was more of an expectation over there. And someone will correct me if I'm dead wrong, but I swear this was the way things were going.
Fair dues.
Yeah. But here's the question though. So according to this.
So yeah, so we haven't really said what this is.
No, sorry. Okay. All right. So let me tell you what WoW said. They said this in a blue post. Thanks for all the feedback so far, everyone. We're still pretty early in the exploration process. We did want to go into more detail about our rationale for introducing an in-game store, as well as provide some insight into what you might ultimately see available there. And then they went on to not really explain that very much.
Well, what they said so far, though, is they want to dip their toes into two bits.
Right.
Currently, they're looking at... an elixir which boosts XP by 100% for a duration, and then lesser charms,
right?
So which obviously improve drop chances and stuff like that,
right?
So
those make sense to start with, right? Like small inroads to just quality of life improvement for things like hurrying the process up or something.
It kind of makes sense, and equally, it's in game,
right?
So the big benefit here is that you can purchase stuff without leaving the game. And every media platform that there is, and WoW is a media platform, they want to keep you inside their platform. They don't really want to lose you out and push you out to something else.
Right.
And I think that's the kind of the special cool stuff here. And you can even think that part of this, sort of the way this is working, may actually be through the in-game browser they introduced for customer support, and maybe, you know, having that there allows them to have more expansive, you know, in-game credit card filling out bits,
right?
And all the other kind of stuff that goes along with it. And equally, our Blizzard bucks that we've earned in Diablo 3 in the Real Money Auction House can also now be spent, in Asia, it would seem, on things like this.
Right. Well, okay. So The elephant in the room is this. Players heard this news, and immediately everybody, you know, QQ'd all over the internet and freaked out and said, rip World of Warcraft, it was nice knowing you, and things like this, right? I want to cut through that and get to the very real question about the idea of a subscription game, still a subscription game that has an...
With
these in-game purchases where they're actually saying to you, give us your $15 a month, And if you want, obviously these things are all optional, and I trust Blizzard at this stage not to do anything that is, you know, pay to win, for lack of a better phrase. But they are essentially saying, all right, well, look, you can boost your XP, or you can boost your chance of these charms so you can get better rolls, or whatever the things are they insert in here. And I'm sure pets and I think even gold and other things are going to come, and we'll speculate on some of that in a minute. But are they walking like the super tight rope of saying subscription plus these things, while everyone else is just doing the secondary in-game thing? They're just saying here.
But they're doing that because they have to. Right. Blizzard doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
And it's one of those things where I think this, for me, could go one of two ways. They could, if they wanted to be more palatable, lower subscription costs. Mm. So still keep a subscription,
right,
but say instead of $15, it's now $10, or it's $5, and then hope that there's enough whales out there who are going to spend a huge amount of money to make up the deficit and encourage a bigger player base. The subscription element of WoW, for me, is one of the most important aspects behind it, because it keeps the unwanted elements out.
Right.
And by that, I mean that there is some recourse to being banned. You have lost yourself money, and you've lost yourself time, which time is, as the goblins say, money. So you don't want to get banned. It tempers most people's behavior quite effectively. You'll still get people who are a little bit not that pleasant to play with. But ultimately, it makes for a better online environment.
Okay.
A lot of the MOBAs, which are free to play,
sure,
MOBAs obviously generate a different type of player interaction anyway. It's a far more competitive, angry scene. But because they're free to play, you know, the only thing you miss out on if you get banned is anything you've actually spent money on. So you make the decision as to how attached you're going to be to a certain account. And equally, if you want to be a bit of a troll, you just roll up another account.
Right.
And so I personally like the element of WoW having a subscription. It kind of keeps it as a gated community, which people can enter, but there's certain sort of recourse as to, you know, if you don't behave in the way that is beneficial for the whole.
Right.
So I would be quite happy with WoW lowering a subscription and moving closer towards microtransactions. Mm. What I expect them to do is just keep it as it is, and also sell stuff, because that's the way they've always done it. And they may be of the opinion now that they don't need to find the people who aren't playing WoW. Because ultimately, WoW is such a sticky drug that once you're in, unless you decide you want to be out.
Yeah, and nothing's going to bring you back, right? You're either...
You come back, but then you go again.
Yeah.
Whereas the people who have stuck with WoW, maybe those people are so invested in this game that you can actually monetize them further and actually get more out of your core player base.
Right.
Now, I don't know as to how far Blizzard wants to go. Obviously, they say that they, you know, really respect their player base, and that, you know, that they're trying to find ways to retain them through content. But I think maybe that would be a better thing, is to listen to the current players and give the current players what they want. And in return, you know, we can kind of reward Blizzard by giving them more money, but money for stuff that we want. So, for example, personally, and this is going to be controversial to some, but I would be really happy to pay for high-level characters. You can kind of do it already by having a Scroll of Resurrection and another account. And once you've, you know, you open an account, you play it for a bit, let it lapse, and after a few months, you can resurrect it. And in doing so, you'll then get a higher level character on that account. You'll get up to level 80 for any character. It can be a level 1 character that, boom, straight away up to level 80, and it comes equipped with gear, gold, and skills.
Right.
That I don't see. I mean, currently the only boundaries on that are firstly cost and secondly time.
Right.
If they were to remove the time element and keep the cost element, I'd even be happy paying as much as it costs to do now, which is a game cost plus 60 days game time cost.
Right.
But to get a level 80 character. You know, and obviously people would be like, oh no, but then, you know, you don't know how to play and you're going to be noobing it up and ruining the group experience. But like I said, you can kind of already do it now. It's just a little bit clunky.
Mm.
But that means that for anyone who does want to do it, there is a path to do it currently.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of feel that if you were to offer me a max level character of the previous expansion, meaning I didn't have to worry about leveling through Outlands and Wrath and Cataclysm. You know, if I got, say, for example, now, if I could buy a level 85 any race, any character class, mm-hmm. I would love that.
And just play, because it just would mean
I could just play Mists and play through all the bits I want to play through. And then maybe once I cap out at 90, if I was a new player or if I was a returning player, maybe I unlock the opportunity to buy another 90.
Yeah, yeah.
Because ultimately, with item levels, you can kind of control how much someone has to play before they are actually going to get into content where skill matters.
Yeah.
You know, you can't queue for a random, you know, an LFR when your item level's too low.
Yeah.
So again, WoW has enough tools within it that will kind of police this to an extent. And I don't know, I kind of feel like a lot of people would come back if it was easy for them to join their friends at the end game without any sort of, you know, massive time barriers.
Well, not only that, but you could, the way you could kind of help control this so you don't have the noob fest you mentioned earlier, which is you don't just give a new player the opportunity to buy straight up to an 85. You give people with existing characters, even if you've got one main who has maxed the game out as level-wise, even if that was the barrier. The other things you start selling already, XP boosters, you know, mounts and pets, gold maybe even, or whatever to help that process happen quicker for somebody who's brand new. But if a guy's got three alts already and he's like, I just want to buy a rogue so I don't have to do that all again, that's not a noob jumping in. He may not know all the mechanics yet. He may have to do a little work on that. But this is a relatively seasoned player by other standards who would just be buying a player up to that level.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, like when I roll an alt, it takes me all of, I don't know, 10 minutes to kind of get my eye in and remember how I play it. But equally, the leveling process with each patch changes classes so much, and rotations and skills and how it all works so much, that I don't think there's a massive difference between a level, you know, kind of a level 90, you know, pre, say like at the final patch of Mists before we go into whatever the next expansion is. You know, once they mix it all up again, we're kind of, for the first couple of weeks, all on a similar footing. And I think if a new player were to come in with a max level character, you know, if you open the spell tab now, it tells you like, okay, so you're a Retribution Paladin. You should be trying to use, you know, Templar Verdict and all of these different, you know, abilities in this order. Wait till you've got three charges of holy power, which you can build up by using these attacks. Yeah. And also, being the internet, there's a billion resources out there that will tell you up to the patch information as to the best ways to do stuff.
Right.
But I think it could be a net positive. And I think that the World of Warcraft community approaches so many things with fear and just ignorance. And we look at, like, you know, Dungeon Finder. It's like, oh, it's going to ruin the game. You're going to crush community. It's changed the game. Has it ruined it? No. For me, I'd say it's enhanced it. Mm. Has it removed community? Well, it's removed an element of the community in regards to how often I group up with strangers.
Right.
I definitely don't have as many new friends that I make through open world activity. Whereas my guild, I feel, has been made richer and kind of easier to talk within. And we've got goals set through achievements and levels and abilities and stuff unlocked through being guild. That I think what Blizzard's kind of taken away with one hand, they've given with the other.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a way to make it work.
I don't feel like I'm, I feel like I'm kind of in the wrong, I have the wrong objective perspective now on the way guilds work and how you add new people to it, because we've just, it's such a juggernaut and doesn't need active recruitment.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's the problem with the size of AIE
is
it's actually been hurt through this change.
I agree.
Because, you know, before it was one big entity, now it's, you know, held together through add-ons and mods, and, you know, it's not quite as cohesive as it previously was.
Right.
That being said, the impact one player can have within their sub guild is far greater than before they could have in the massive juggernaut that was AIE.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a silver lining to all of this. And personally, the thing that will keep World of Warcraft great is a continued flow of players.
Yeah.
And if you can play with friends, you will always play. There are very few people out there who play with friends that don't all quit together. If you keep playing, if you're the one, your friends will come back eventually because you will, you know, talk to them about stuff and they'll be like, oh, that sounds really cool. Okay, I'm going to resub.
Yeah.
If you're the one who stepped out, your friend's going to tell you something cool in the future and you are going to resub.
Right.
And so Blizzard's magic has to be in finding a way to easily allow real life friends to jump in and play together without as many barriers as possible.
Yeah, I agree. And they, I think they stop. So let's talk about where they stop short. I don't think we ever see gear being such an important piece of this puzzle. Cosmetic things to gear, maybe, but I don't think
Definitely.
Transmog, gear. Right.
Exactly. Transmog, you could have, you know, an awesome set of money.
Yeah.
And it's literally like maybe like solid gold variants of classic armor sets. And you just got some weird, nasty gold shader. So you stand out as like, I spent a lot of money. And everyone would be like, oh, you're a noob. You spent a lot of money.
Right.
But, you know, they can do it straight away. And equally, there could be, you know, maybe promotional items. So maybe, you know, they do another brand deal with Diet Coke and all of a sudden, you know, we can get, you know, Coke shoulder, you know, Coke pauldrons
Like that. That sounds...
And that might be free or something like that. You know, there's lots of things they could do with Transmog.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned earlier...
I really hope the Coke thing doesn't happen. I would really prefer that not to happen. That'd be bad.
But well, I mean, even then, if they did it funny or if they did it in a cool way... I'm not against it. If anything, again, it's optional. It doesn't affect my gameplay. And maybe even you could have a button you tick that turns off visual promotional items.
Sure.
So you don't see another guy's Coke pauldrons if you didn't want to. All the elements are there for them to make it palatable to however it needs to be. Gold is, I think, the real crux of this. How many people have been hacked?
Right.
Millions.
Right.
Millions of people, millions of individuals, not even millions of characters, millions of individuals have been hacked. The reason for that is because people want to sell gold, and the reason people want to sell gold is because a vast number of people want to buy it.
Right.
So already there is a demand within World of Warcraft's player base for people who want to buy gold. Now, whether or not Blizzard endorses it or not, it doesn't change the fact that there is a market of players who all they want to do is buy gold and spend it in-game.
Yeah.
It's already messing with the in-game economy, and more importantly, it's causing players to be hacked. It's making a black market worth billions of dollars.
So it's not unlike the problem they tried to address with Diablo 3, which was to say...
I think it is, Diablo 3's problem was much smaller.
I totally agree.
Much smaller
than
World of Warcraft. And yet they took a stance on it. Yep. They say now they feel that was the wrong thing to do in that game.
Sure.
The thing it doesn't change is that people's accounts are at risk. Everything is at risk because there is too much value in virtual goods. Now, Blizzard could literally crush the gold trade overnight by selling gold at stupid amounts for very little.
Yeah.
Now, the problem that introduces is it kind of means that you have to buy gold because everything is inflated so much in price, especially within the player economy,
right,
that you can't compete without. And that's why they're in this tricky situation, because they can basically make it almost pointless to even need an authenticator because there is no value in the virtual items. But by doing so, they also then make it so that everyone has to pay a little bit in order to get it. And I don't know. Maybe, again, as part of being a subscriber, you get 1 million gold a month.
Oh, jeez.
You know, I don't know how they could get around it, but the only way to defeat gold selling and hacking and everything associated with it is to beat them at the game.
Right.
They need to find a way to compete with that.
They're going to have to, but it's funny because what you're describing, if a government were to do, because essentially in this case, let's call Blizzard the government. They are governing this game, and so they have some...
We're the NSA.
Right. you and I are
the
NSA.
We
know everything about everybody. But if you go and you suddenly take your government or your country and you inject money into it artificially... by saying, hey, we're going to, all that money you had to go out and earn or you had to do, you had to trade goods for, or we're going to just give you $1 million a month allowance. What that does to the economy is it's catastrophic changes for good, to others for worse, for everyone different. So Blizzard can't just willy-nilly go, all right, all that gold you've been paying $50 for 1 million gold online, we're not going to give you 1 million gold for $2. that changes everything about what sold, how much it sold for, what an auction house does, is, and can be. Like, it's a complete and utter devastation of the economy. Some, you know, in a virtual way, maybe there's some good in that. I don't know. Maybe that reset does some things. In real life, it would just destroy lives. It would literally mean people would die.
But yeah, so and I think people would die if Blizzard did it as well. Mm. If you think about some of the conditions that these gold farmers and hackers are kept in some of these countries, and equally that they make their livelihoods, they support their families illegally selling virtual items to Westerners.
Yeah.
Because for us, the most precious resource is time. For them, it's money. And the big issue around this just comes down to is what conceivably can Blizzard do? And all of the others are treating the symptoms. Whereas Blizzard, the only way they can really stop it is by devaluing or removing gold from the game.
Right.
And in doing so, they then affect everything in which that currency is used for. So the auction house, you know, if I had non-tradable points like honor points and valor points as the only way to go forward in the game, then certainly you would remove the element of the need for buying gold, but equally you would remove the need to trade or interact. And for some people, they really like being able to go away and farm up enough money and play the auction house to buy something they want.
Right.
And that's the tricky thing for Blizzard, is how can you attack that? And you know, with the Diablo 3, they made two separate auction houses. They made one for money and one for in-game currency.
Yeah.
But they also sold in-game currency. Mm-hmm. So really, the
but they started with it. Like, they started day one with it. That's the big trick here. Isn't so much that you couldn't do that with a video game and experiment and figure out what's going to happen. And they've had their own separate issues and problems with that. But they launched that game with that functionality. WoW is literally looking to inject it potentially. I mean, they haven't even come out and said we're selling gold. But I'm assuming that's coming. And let's say it does.
To be honest with you, I think it's a thing that probably isn't coming. But I think it's a thing that out of this should come. Because I think that it is an opportunity to finally stop one of the biggest issues around World of Warcraft, which is hacks.
Yeah.
And I think that honestly, I mean, again, it's tricky. For me, I don't play the auction house. I never really have enjoyed selling goods and buying goods. And so for me, it is a bit of a sort of secondary feature.
Yeah.
And all my gold is used for is flight paths for when I can't bother to fly there and want to go AFK and repairs.
Yeah.
And that is literally the extent of what I spend it on. And I guess like reagents and stuff like that. But for the most part, it, you know, my gold just goes up, and then every now and then I will go on the auction house and be like, I'm going to buy a gem because I can't wait for my friend to log on. So for those sorts of things, it kind of just comes down to not really having enough. For me, I don't feel it's a big enough part of the game for me that it's worth the downside of having to type in a 6-digit, 8-digit number every time I log in, even though you don't have to do it every time.
Right.
But still, it kind of feels like, you know, we've got all these kind of additional hoops to jump through,
right?
Because Blizzard has created value out of nothingness,
yeah,
out of bits and bytes, and equally they have a strange kind of policy, it seems, of not prosecuting buyers. I can't remember ever hearing of someone being banned for buying gold.
Well, maybe there's well, yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
I kind of feel like, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, prostitution's illegal, but equally soliciting of prostitutes is illegal. At least I think, is it the same for you?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is. Yeah.
There you go.
I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there in that world.
But equally, that's the thing. It kind of feels like, you know, you can attack the purveyor or you can attack the person, you know, doing it. So I don't know personally. I just kind of feel like XP boosters, yes. Because like I said, time is my favorite resource at the moment. I would happily pay to level a character quicker. I would happily pay far more to have a character pre-leveled. That would be amazing.
I'd do that too. I'd do that right now if that was possible. I know it sounds crazy, but I would love to just... there's a mage I would love to have right now at 90 and be playing with that mage. I don't have time to go level that mage.
Exactly. In your raid team, they might be like, you know, someone drops out, all of a sudden you need a healer.
Yeah.
Now you have to go and find... You might have another guy who's, you know, already geared up and a great DPSer who could step in your shoes.
Sure.
And you're like, well, yeah, actually, I quite fancy the opportunity to be a healer. But your team hasn't got the time to hang around for you to level a tune-up. you know, you have to kind of be, you know, thinking outside the box and try and make sure that you've got this roster of alts that you're kind of trying to manage and make sure he's got enough gear, he's got enough gear. What about her? Have I got her up to a, you know, suitable kind of gear level to be of use? Is she ever going to be needed? You know, all of those things kind of come into it, obviously. But I just personally would happily buy a character. I'd happily buy a lot of elements because my enjoyment is, and the enjoyment of my friends, is paramount. I don't really care if, you know, someone else feels that I'm, you know, cheating the system or missing out on a large portion of the game. I love leveling and I've leveled and I've really enjoyed it. What I don't really love doing is having to do that for the sake of trying to play with my friends.
Right.
Social game is meant to be about interactions between people.
Yeah.
And yet most of my interactions in World of Warcraft are with NPCs where I say, thank you for the quest. Oh, here you go. That's what you wanted. Thank you for the reward. I'm going to chat to your mate now. And that's, I think, the element where Blizzard has the opportunity to, firstly, make an ass ton of money.
Yeah.
So everyone's happy their end. And secondly, change the model once more and evolve. You know, we're still paying $15 a month. It's the decade. It's coming up on 10 years of World of Warcraft.
Good Lord, yeah.
Has changed. You know, mounts and pets are lovely. Whoop-de-doo.
And they'll still be there, and that's great.
They'll still be there. They'll be more accessible. You'll be able to chat to, you know, Lando Longshot, I'm sure, and buy stuff off him in Booty Bay and whoever else is going to be kind of peddling goods. Maybe on the black market auction house.
Right.
You know, you'll be able to buy Ashes of Alar for $20.
Sure.
I don't know. That's a good point.
I hadn't considered that. A lot of the in-game mount stuff that used to be earnable only, that'd be interesting if that stuff went started being sold. You know, that is if that's...
Why not? Because currently, I could go on to, you know, buywowgold.com. That's probably a website. Don't go there.
Yeah, it probably is.
I could go there. I could pay real money. I could get gold. I can go to the online auction, the black market auction house, and I could buy it today.
Yeah.
Everything maxes out at 1,000,000 gold. So all I need to do is make sure I have 1,000,000 gold and I've won it. So that's it. I just need to bid for 1,000,000 first. And that's it. And if I'm paying money, then literally however much 1,000,000 is how much a mount costs.
Yeah.
And that's it. And for something like that, that is potentially, you know, earnable in game, if you spend week after week after week farming it, month after month, in the case of the second binding for Thunder Fury, for me, was year after year. I got the first binding when Molten Core was still a thing.
Yeah.
I got the second binding after running Molten Core pretty much every week for a couple of years.
I remember this. You were a freak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and in the end, it was just a case of like, you know, I've got it now. And with Transmog, I can't even Transmog it. So it's just sat in my bank. And, you know, did I enjoy the process of getting that? At first, maybe. Then it became a sort of a point. I've gone this far. I'm going to carry on.
Right.
But I don't think it necessarily means that I had more fun or that I'm any more deserving of that item.
Right.
I was running Molten Core by myself at end level caps, 3 expansions in from Vanilla WoW. That's not any more deserving of that item than someone who decides to just pay some money.
Right.
All it meant is that I valued my own personal time less than that of someone else.
Right.
Who had a different opportunity.
And we're going to, by the way, I can have this, my spidey senses tingling that we're going to get a lot of heat potentially for this episode for
what people want.
Well,
I really
know. I know. But here's what I'm saying. I don't want to have, what I want to have on this subject as WoW moves into whatever this era is for them, I want to be able to make those subjects open and discussable and non-trolly. So what I'm asking for is people out there, if you vehemently disagree with something like Terpster just said about something, or me, about this,
but mainly me,
or even what Blizzard says about it, or any of this big change, we are very desirous to hear those points of view. And I just want to make it clear that that's the kind of discussions we're going to have about it. Open, honest, non-trolly discussions about it.
I honestly want to know if Blizzard creates an environment where you don't have to pay to get an item. So, for example, you don't have to pay to get a high-level alt.
Right.
You can just level one, right, as you can currently. And you don't have to pay to get a mount. You can farm it, or you can win it in a real money auction house, or, you know, in a gold auction house. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, if they create the option to either spend money or not, then I don't see really how that makes any difference. And even if they want to add a title that says, like, you know, the cheap or the excessive wallet or something like that to any character that's bought, you know, so then everyone's like, oh, yeah, you bought that one, though. You know, I honestly don't care, because I feel that if they do it right, and they can and they should, then it can only be a positive influence to World of Warcraft.
Okay, well,
but please, for the people who feel differently, please email in
theinstance@gmail.com
and tell me why. I want to know. I don't know if I'm just, you know.
It's easy to just see. Well, it's easy to just see the change. It's easy to see the change and just go, I've changed. You know, I feel the same way. I hear these things and go, oh, what are we doing? You know, like, you're changing things. I want to approach this from the perspective that, all right, everyone calm down. It's not happening overnight. And I'd like to see what this turns into. I'd like to see all these different points of view. Somebody in the chat room named Walls just said, I spent 8 months farming Alar. I would feel kind of cheated if somebody could just hobble into the Play to Win store.
It's sold on the black market.
Well, sure, sure.
I can go and buy gold illegally at the, you know, countless number of characters being hacked. It's not like they use bots anymore. It's not like people are, oh, now I can't farm in, you know, Dustwind Gulch. It's a fact that people are having their computers infected, other information stolen, they're having characters deleted and restored. It's costing Blizzard huge overheads in terms of, you know, GMs having to customer support and restore characters. You know, and they've spent a huge amount on systems and tools to make that process easier.
Should my uncle feel cheated? Here's a good real life comparison. Maybe it's not perfect, but should my uncle feel cheated that during the 80s his only cell phone options were giant cancer causing bricks that weighed, you know, 50 pounds, and that was the only way that you could be on that cutting edge and have mobile phone technology? Whereas now people that were his age then have access to amazing pocket devices, smartphones. Now, wait a sec. Before you answer that question, I need to pop in here and give a little love to our sponsor, Shutterstock.com today. Shutterstock.com. You're going to find the perfect image, the perfect video, whatever you might need, perfect vector image for your next big creative project, whether it's for a website, a publication, advertising, a video, whatever your project is. You can choose from over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and those video clips that are so hard to find everywhere else. You can source images from all around the world. That's where they get them. They're right there at your fingertips. For example, they add 10,000 images a day, so every time you visit, you're going to find something new. They have very flexible pricing. You can choose individual image packs or a monthly subscription for the best deal. You can download 25 images per day with a standard subscription, for example. You can download any image in any size and pay just the one price. They give you the image you need to bring your stuff to life. They have this new spectrum tool. You can sort images by color spectrum. Many creative teams use it to get inspiration and ideas. And of course, that is 100% free to browse. It's a complete global offering. No matter where you're at, no matter what you need, you'll find what you need. They've got offices located in more than a dozen countries: Germany, China, Italy, Brazil, Belgium. True global marketplace for buyers of creative stuff. And their contributions are just as international and just as awesome. No credit card needed, by the way. Just start an account. Begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next big project would be. Save a few favorite images to your Lightbox. Review them later. Once you decide, though, to purchase, use the offer code WOW7 and new accounts will receive 30% off any package. That's WOW7. That's 30% off any package you want. That's Shutterstock.com. And again, don't forget, for 30% off that new account, use the offer code WOW7. All right, Terpster, back at it.
I would say a kind of closer example would be this past week, I took a Skytram on a wire up to the top of a mountain.
You sure did.
There were other people that climbed that mountain.
Yeah.
We had very different journeys. We both got to enjoy the view at the top, and we came away with different levels of satisfaction. But I don't think that me taking the tram diminished that person who climbed up the hill, up the mountain. They have that personal thing that should be personal to them. They didn't, you know, video their whole journey up the hill that they can show to everyone that walked past. So, guys, stop. Whoa. I know you're going down the hill. Just to let you know, I actually walked all the way up it. Okay. I didn't take the tram. I walked all the way. And everyone's like, well, I don't care. Sorry. And, you know, that's the problem, is that really people, you know, you flying around on a lark,
yeah,
you know, well done, great. I don't know how you got it. I don't know if your brother got it for you in a raid, and you know, you're 12 years old. I don't know if you're the guild master and you actually ninja looted it and then quit the guild.
Or your brother works at Blizzard. You don't know.
Yeah. I've got no idea, and right. ultimately, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Because your enjoyment, as long as you are enjoying it and it isn't affecting me, I have no concerns at all about anything you do. And that's where really it kind of comes down, for me at least, that if Blizzard can provide me the Skytram to get to the top, and I had to pay $17 for that ticket.
Yeah, it wasn't
cheap.
That
was there and back. It's not a cheap ticket,
nope.
Okay? But I thought, well, I've just got here. I don't fancy a three-hour trek, you know, up and down a mountain.
Yeah.
I will just get the tram. It would take me, you know, 20 minutes, 10 of which I was in a queue. Then I was at the top, well, 15 even. It was very quick.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think it needs to be an issue, but people's initial reaction will always be, oh, no, you can't do it like that. That's different to how it's been done. That means it's change. I don't like change. When's the expansion coming?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, okay. You know, you're happy for some things to change. You're not happy for others. I think it could be a real renaissance for World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
If they do it right, the player base can swell again. We can have lots of people, but hopefully lots of the right people. Because the easiest way for them to get more players now would be to make it free to play.
Yeah.
Which up to level 20, it is.
Yeah.
I think that the real strength will come from having it easier to get to the top of the mountain and then just keep making that mountain awesome. Make the scenery you look out on amazing. Make there a roller coaster up there. So once you get there, there's something even cooler you can do as well.
Yeah.
And I think that process of making the journey from A to B easier will only be a good thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I completely agree.
There you go. Sorry, I've just got off my soapbox.
No, it's good. This was maybe some of the biggest news WoW's had in a very long time in terms of just intrinsic, meaningful change to the game, potentially anyway. And like we said, we have a few details. We have a couple of ideas of what they're going to do. You can be sure that they're not going to just launch some big fat thing and hope it goes all right. They're going to do this slowly. They're going to figure out what's best. They do want their players to be happy. This isn't like, you know, they're just going to say, well, screw it. We're just going to try this thing and we don't care who's affected. They're going to take their time. And I think that that's good for everyone. So there'll be time to go over this. But I think there's a lot of interesting conversation to be had. So please email us. Let us know. Tweet us. Instance show there. You can find us on theinstance@gmail.com and tell us your thoughts and your feelings about this upcoming stuff. One last little note here before we get into... some emails and stuff. You can now enter the BlizzCon 2013 talent contest, something brand new. They haven't done this before. Previous to this, if you wanted to be, you know, dress up like Diablo or Jim Raynor, you could do it and be in their costume contest. Or if you wanted to be in the dance contest, you could do that. They seem to be taking this a bit further. This is what they've said. Remember, what follows are just some ideas and guidelines. We know you have skills we haven't even dreamed of. We're eagerly looking forward to seeing you in action. So they give us examples of things you could try out for. Drama, reenact a scene or monologue from a Blizzard game, for example. Comedy, make us laugh.
Can I talk to them if they will not listen to me?
Exactly. So it's music, comedy, dance. What else? Don't limit yourself. You have to send a video in to kind of be, to qualify for the competition. It can be any kind of talent, humor, entertainment, originality, creativity, whatever. Strong Blizzard theming is important. Do you have any desire to do this? Would you get up there?
I would be well up for this. Oh. I want to find three other short people, and we will form a barbershop quartet of Alliance gnomes.
Wow.
To go up against level 90 Elite Tauren Chieftain and challenge them to a battle of the bands.
You could do like the knees, like cut yourself off the knees, put little shoes at your knees and kneel
Why
down.
Why not? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And we could still do the gnome dance Brilliant. On our knees because it's quite simple. I just think it would be great to really kind of highlight the strength of the Alliance through the most manly art of barbershop quartet singing. And I just think that would go down a treat.
Genuinely curious about how this is going to go off, and I think we'll see.
So I think this is instead of the dance contest and the sound-alike contest, I think the costume contest is still happening.
Yeah, this is to replace those other two things, which were getting a little long in the tooth.
A little bit, and exactly, and there's only so many years they can play, you know, Britney Spears' Toxic and some scanty clad lady. Actually, no, I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah. But now that you think about it.
It's only so many years before, like, you know, the dwarf female dance can happen.
Right.
And people are like, all right, okay, great.
Got it. Yep. Good job.
Let's play the Macarena and have some women dance and do the Macarena. It's not really that impressive, I'll be honest with you. It's an actual dance done by actual humans as well.
Right.
You know, there's a kind of a level of ease implied with that. But I think drama, comedy, music, dance, how about we combine them all, Scott?
Yeah. Okay. And this is stuff you can't predict.
These are day one of a new expansion.
Sure.
So we just get everyone who listens to the instance to go up on stage, and everyone just does their own kind of interpretive sort of thing of, you know, what would my character do day one of the expansion? Looking for group. Anyone want a group? Just shouting, you know, and then someone else is like, I got some old fish.
Yeah.
Who wants some old fish?
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that'd be great.
I love it.
Some people be dressed up. We could do it.
I endorse it.
I mean, the prize might not be that impressive when it's shared amongst, you know, a couple of thousand people, but still,
I
think it could be good.
I think what comes out of this potentially is some weird memes too. There's going to be some weird stuff on Twitter from some very strange gong show stuff. Like it's in Blizzard's interest not to turn away some like full on like first week of American Idol bad kind of stuff. Like I think it's good for them to accept in the really great stuff and amazing visual things and things that you can do on stage that are gonna blow people's minds. But I think you also need to have some real awkward business going on.
We could get Brian Brushwood to dress up like Diablo.
Of course we could.
He could breathe fire.
He is Diablo. What are you talking about?
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
He is Diablo.
He's the devil himself. By the way, that's one of the highlights of that whole event was him.
Oh, it's amazing.
Amazing.
And is it available on Frog Pants TV yet?
Not yet, but will be. We're gonna be I haven't gotten any of the video raw footage yet, but as soon as I get all that footage, we're gonna make a big compilation. And one of them will be him performing, or at least parts of it. I don't want to blow his whole thing.
There's an amazing bit where I put him in a straitjacket.
Yeah, it was amazing. Nice job on the part that I won't mention.
Well, I mean, the thing is, he said that it's the first time he's ever had anyone do it, and he didn't have to instruct them how.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I sat down I realized I'd rumbled myself in front of a crowd full of people. So...
You totally did, dude.
Yeah. I should have been like, oh... How does this work? Oh, this could be interpreted in a vaguely sexual fashion.
You think?
Yeah, exactly.
He was unbelievable, though, man. Just
amazing.
A freaking
amazing
pro. I was blown away. I knew he was good. I didn't know he was that good. It's really, really good. Quite the showman.
Wizard,
really. Anyway, so enter now. This is on the official Battle.net, Battle.net blog, and I will, of course, put a link to it in the show notes, or rather, Paul will, our intrepid intern who was at Nerdtacular. It was good to see him there as well.
Schwickard.
Yeah, he's a good man. All right, let's get to World of Tweets. We only have one that seemed to be
interesting.
I love that
dropping. I'm amazed like the range Scott Fletcher has on some of
right.
these.
Right, isn't that amazing? You wouldn't even know it was him. That's incredible. Should I take this as bring the player, not the class, is now less of a goal for Blizzard than it was during Wrath? This was a tweet directed a little snarkily toward Greg. And Greg responded thusly, I would phrase it as we largely fixed the Sunwell problem. We were coming off of Sunwell where raid comps, meaning compositions, were absurdly rigid. Most guilds not competing for World First have huge latitude in their group composition. I would just ask you and I, with that end of the quote, but I would ask, is that true now? Do you feel like I feel like when our 10-man runs, which we did on Wednesday, which was fantastic to get back into it. It was great to run with those guys. We had a little problem toward the end with what's his name? Big freaking bug. Damn it. I always forget his name. He sucks. DPS down his legs. Chat room, help me out. Whatever his damn name is.
Oh.
I was coming off Nerdtacular and I can't remember. Anyway, he was hard and he was a pain. Point is, we kind of got there. Garalon, thank you. Garalon, that's it.
Garalon.
Got to that fight and did a few wipes and realized we had a bit of a healing configuration problem. But beyond that, most nights and most of the time, we have some pretty good, like Greg says, latitude on who we want to bring in and how they want to play. We don't we don't have to do a lot of the sort of rigid things that we did have to do during Wrath of the Lich King and other expansions. So I feel like we're okay right now. Like, bring the player, not the class, seems to still be a thing you can do and feel pretty good about it. Blizzard may not be pounding it down our throat all the time or talking about it, but I don't feel like we're screwed.
You kind of feel like with a few changes, it could be quite an awesome hip-hop t-shirt. Mm. You know, that'd be quite good. Bring it, player. Slap that class. There's something there. It could be good.
Yeah. Someone in the chat room says,
but no, I don't. Yeah. There's never really been a kind of a full realization of like, you can bring anyone.
Right.
Short of scenarios. Mm. I think, you know, in a small format, then yes, the game works for pretty much anyone.
Right.
But in the large scale fights, they need to build it around a certain assumption of composition.
Sure.
But I think the big push with that was a homogenization between roles, in that, you know, druids heal differently to priests, heal differently to paladins, but ultimately all get the job done.
Right.
And it's not a case of that, like, you know, if you need a druid healer for this fight, you need to have a hunter with trank shot for this fight. That isn't as much of an issue nowadays.
No.
Because they've either removed abilities that were that niche, or they have spread them across multiple classes.
Right, they've turned it more into this.
And some people feel, you know, that it's to the detriment of the game, but I don't know.
I don't know if it is. Maybe they've traded that, though. They traded that for, instead of you need a hunter to trank, you need a ranged DPS who can play well or can do the thing you need done from range, because when this particular phase happens and the boss does this particular thing, you've got to have a guy out there who knows how to do what he has to do when he has to do it without class, being a particular class. And I think that's what they've really done. And I would argue, well, what's the difference? Now you're just less limited, but you still have to have a guy who knows what he's doing. And I think that's fine. I think that's the way the game should be playing.
I can get on board.
Yeah. Nobody wants 10 rogues. But we're not saying that, but we are saying, you know, if I'm a mage, great. If I'm a hunter, great. Either way, get the job done. All right. Let's move on to Town Crier. Got a couple of these. Lost my sound clip. There it is.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Hey, it's the Town Crier, everybody. We take your emails. We take your calls.
Can we get him to redo it with his low voice?
Yeah. You know what? He did I tell you he refused to? So this is the first year since 2007 he wouldn't get on stage and do the Town Crier voice. He wouldn't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because he doesn't have the range anymore?
I think he's 13. When we started, he was 7. Okay, 2007. Yep. And that's when we first recorded that thing. It was when he was 6 or 7. Now his voice is way lower, but mainly he's 13 and doesn't like that spotlight as much.
What? Yeah. Is he kidding? Girls go crazy for the Town Crier.
Well, that's what I tell them.
There have been times when I've rocked up to parties and I'll be like, hey, ladies, how you doing? I'm the T. And they'll be like, whatever. And then I'll go like, hee 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 hee. Woo-hoo-hoo. Like, oh my God, are you the Town Crier? I'll be like, for you? Yes. Yes, I could be. I could be.
Man. Anyway, he's not interested, but we'll see. He did say to me, so Russell Brower, again, awesome to have him at Nerdtacular. I can't say it enough. Russell was there, and Nick turned to me before he had a chance to meet him or know anything about him much, other than he'd heard me talk about him. He goes, Dad, he looks like that king for the Riders of Rohan. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, it kind of does, buddy. Kind of does. King Theoden, is it? No. What was his name?
Yeah, Theoden.
Theoden, yeah, that was it. Looks just like him after the worm tongue stuff, like when he was healthy and good.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Not the weird zombie face. Yeah. All right. Town Crier brought to you today by DoghouseSystems.com, who was at Nerdtacular. They gave away a $2,800 notebook, portable notebook, gaming rig that was
unbelievable. I think there was an issue with it, though. Do you hear about that?
No, what happened?
I didn't win it.
Oh, so, yeah, that was an issue. Yeah.
Kind of seemed like a little bit like, excuse me.
The warranty, listen, the warranty does not cover you not winning it. So,
well, it should do in future. I think we should have that.
Yeah, it was sweet. I was jealous. And congrats to the big winner who picked that up that day. And it was so nice. We had Clark there, and he repped us really well. And he did, I won't talk about it because I feel like I'm talking about myself, but he did something to get the crowd to do something that kind of blew me away a little bit. I've never had that happen to me before, and that was weird. So anyway, one of the high points of a very memorable weekend. Just a reminder, if you use Henry at checkout, you can get double the memory still, or as a nice little bonus, you can use the code GURP and get a free $50 gift certificate to slashloot.com for any t-shirts that you want to pick up, including the Instance shirt, if you'd like. It's right there. And some Nerdtacular stuff, in case you missed. Yeah, it's a good shirt. All right. You can call us and leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462, 801-471-0462. We'll play them on the show, keep them short, 30 seconds or less, usually the best. You can also email your attachments and your emails to theinstance@gmail.com. Let's start with some calls, which is all we really have today. And first one up, we have someone with a theory about Titan.
Hello, Instance crew. This is Monty Turner calling in from Leander, Texas. Just wanted to share his thoughts about Titan. Blizzard isn't being completely honest with us about why they're withholding it. Well, it's PR, so they're not going to be straightforward, but regardless, in my opinion, this upcoming BlizzCon could have been about two things. What it is, which is a World of Warcraft expansion, and huge, or Titan being announced and World of Warcraft going free-to-play. I believe that at this point, Titan is Blizzard's ace in their pocket, and they're just waiting to pull it out until it looks like they're in real trouble. And further extrapolation on my part, excuse me, when Titan lulls, World of Warcraft 2 is announced.
Okay, so
wow,
I would argue that it is also possible that it is what Blizzard says it is, which is we weren't happy with the final product and we reset to start over because we didn't like what we were seeing. I think that's entirely possible as well.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. I don't know. It depends as to who's left on the team and hasn't been reassigned.
Sure.
I think that they're rebuilding it as a free-to-play game.
Yeah. Didn't we think that in the first place, though? I mean, I'm not saying...
I think they were looking at a subscription MMO because they are the only people in the world who have ever really made that work on the scale of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And so they've always said how they wanted to kill WoW with whatever they were making. And I think that they've realized now is that you can't really do that. Yeah. World of Warcraft existed in a time when there was no World of Warcraft. Now you're competing against a sea of free-to-play MMOs. And so without that critical, you know, core fan base, it'd be very hard to do.
That's interesting. That could mean, mechanically speaking, your game is very different. I don't care who you are, what you're doing, to change that midstream or not to change that midstream, but then be faced with the prospect of having to go free-to-play. That fundamentally changes what your video game is.
It changes, exactly. And it's a little bit like, you know, if WoW, you know, did introduce microtransactions and then decided to go free to play, they would have to change everything because otherwise there's no revenue in the game.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to make a game from the ground up with that model in mind than to stick it on as a module afterwards.
They don't sit around with a game in their back pocket though, just deciding that, oh, okay, well we need to wait until WoW sucks and then we're going to spring it on everybody. I don't think that's how anyone works. That makes no money sense to me. You know?
I wouldn't imagine that would ever be a thing.
That seems really weird. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go before.
I'm just saying, yeah, I agree with you. I think that wouldn't be a thing. I think that Titan, personally, again, and I'm sure I'm completely wrong anyway, I often am with these things, but I would imagine that Titan was in a place where they were like, nuts, we're going to have to go free-to-play.
Yeah.
There's no way we can release with a subscription MMO. Right, everyone else, great job. We're going to need you back in about 6 months once we've built the core back up. Until then, could you go help all the other teams because your experience being valuable? And think about it as well, in terms of World of Warcraft, you know, dipping in subscribers again and going up and then back down again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe bringing back that core original talented team to work with the now core team, who are obviously very talented still. But maybe that's going to make this next expansion even better. Or maybe, again, they're working on the expansion after the expansion. Historically, you'd always kind of think that the next expansion would be the weaker one followed by a stronger one.
Yeah.
But it's not to say that it always has to be that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see this BlizzCon. I think we will see an expansion and I'm going to put my hat out in there in the place where you put your hats. And I'm going to say Emerald Dream.
Really? Okay. You've made this. Okay, that's your prediction. I like doing
this.
We need to start solidifying our predictions. So that's your prediction. My expansion.
You need
prediction.
To do it before we get too much information and can make an informed decision.
I completely agree.
It needs to just be kind of let's pick something and either look fools and we can defend it because, well, it was months before we knew, or we can look like geniuses, psychic geniuses.
I think it is not Emerald. This is, I kind of agree with you about Emerald Dream, but I'm just going to be contrary to make this more fun, because I also think there's a decent chance that whatever happens, Outworld is the big Outworld. Outland is.
Oh, hang on. No, I'm going to change mine. Not Emerald Dream. The Maelstrom. Okay.
You've changed it.
Naga. I'm going to go Naga.
Okay.
I'm going to change it. I'm going to put my other hat in the ring.
All right.
Say Naga.
Okay, fine. Naga. I'm just going to. So my only prediction I'll make at this point, because I don't have it, I think it's going to be something we haven't seen before. It's a story that's been untold. That's what I think. That's number one. A whole new area, a whole new thing. A bit like Pandaria was. In the sense, it'll be a throwback to something we know, but it'll be an expansion.
Are you reckon it'll be like Argus or like a distant world we've never been to?
Yes, and it will have something. Outland will get reused in some way, and it probably will be the justification for its revamp. That's what I think will happen. Now,
but
some
I'm
of this.
I'm saying that if you introduce the ability to buy a character near the cap, you don't need to update.
Well, I see. I agree.
You save yourself. Yeah. You know, you got the option. If you want to play for Outlands, you can. If you don't, you can spend, you know, $5 and buy a level 70 or something, you know, outside the zone. You can just go for it.
I agree. The things we've said on this very episode seem to contradict my prediction about Outland, but I feel like that something thematically at least, or gameplay-wise or leveling-wise or something, something's going, Outland has a part to play in this. I don't know what, I don't know how, but a major part. So we'll see. Next up. Free expansion.
Hey, I see a lot of people talking about a cash shop coming to WoW soon. I don't know if they're just testing it in Asia or if it's coming to.
He said, just so everyone knows, he said cash shop. So he's referring to this in-game store, just in case anyone didn't hear that. So
I like the cash shop.
There's more.
America. But I think that the expansion model is kind of old, and I wonder if they're going to release a free expansion and add a cash shop to help offset those costs. Just wondering. Thanks a lot.
So free expansion, that's interesting, and there is a part of me that says in a world of DLC and traditional expansions going the way of the Dodo, that's not a bad prediction.
Let's look at the past subscriber numbers and sales figures for Blizzard's past expansions. There is no way that is ever a bad idea to sell that. They make bank. Mm. They make, you know, what was it? Wrath of Lich King was the fastest selling PC game
of all time
up until, like, you know, StarCraft and Diablo came along and ruined it.
Right.
Cataclysm, I think, was up there. Yeah. If not, maybe, I don't know, day one sales might have been higher. Mists was still a good performer. I don't think we're anywhere near the point where Blizzard's thinking, oh, we should give this away for free. Mm. However, the annual pass previously has come with a free game.
Yeah.
So maybe the annual pass can be used to give the next expansion for free, which kind of makes sense. Mm. You're selling something to an audience that wants something, and the free thing offsets the cost of a subscription for a year. Rift did it with their expansion. They've now gone free to play. But their last one said, you know, if you sign up for a year, we will give you the expansion for free. Mm. I think that if the only time we see it for free is if we're actually not getting it for free and we're buying something, and it's a little bit like, you know, when in the Steam summer sale, I've managed to save hundreds of dollars already by spending hundreds of dollars that I wasn't going to spend. It's that level of saving, I think, is the only one we're going to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're probably right. It's an interesting idea, though, and
it'd be cool. But, well, actually, I don't know if it would be.
But if the only games and game companies that get away with quote unquote expansions as we know them is Blizzard. Nobody else is doing that. It's all bits of DLC. Like, it's just
that being said, we're a 10-year-old game now.
Yeah.
Near enough. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Do you remember when the original, so WoW comes out, they have that intro movie, which was amazing. Mm. Still is today. Yeah, it said 10 years of Warcraft, and you're like, wow, that's amazing. And now I'm thinking, it's going to say 20 years of Warcraft soon. That's insane. That's just insane. Some kid was born when I was playing Warcraft 1 or 2, and they're going to be 2021. Think about that.
That's crazy.
Put that in your chicken broth and drink it. Okay. Last call. Let's see. This is the idea of playing as dragons in the next playable race.
Hey, Scott Dilton Thurster. This is Ben from Melbourne, Australia. Just wondering what you guys thought of dragons or dragonkin as the next playable race. Currently in game, we've got Colored Ghosts, the Blue Dragon, and Jaina sort of becoming friends with benefits, if you will. And Raytheon, who's the last Black Dragon, he doesn't really have a home, so maybe we'll see Blue Dragons for Alliance and Black for Horde. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. Cheers, guys. Love the show.
Okay, so this idea...
Loves it. It's
cool, but think about this for a minute. All right, from a gear perspective, you're going to have some racial where you can turn into a dragon and for 30 seconds you can enrage or do something weird.
Amazing.
But for the most part, and you'd have built-in mount abilities and all that, but for the most part... You still got to wear gear. You still got to get drops for your hunter.
So dragons have historically been able to take on the form of any of the mortal races.
Yeah.
Dragons now also, the aspects, are mortal.
Right.
So they kind of fit in with that whole thing. And maybe the move to making dragons mortal was so that it would be more palatable for them to be a playable race in the future.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like the idea because, I mean, it would be really cool. We've got the... alchemy potion already that allows you to turn you into a drake and have someone ride on your back. Why not make that a racial ability? And at the same time, it means all the drake models get to be redone for free.
Yeah.
Because my amber drake or whatever it is that I got from the Caverns of Time, I like to use it because I like riding a dragon. It kind of fits in with what I like, but looks terrible. Because it's a vanilla model,
right.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of a dragon race, and maybe they don't have to be. Maybe they can be neutral, like the Pandaren.
Yeah.
And maybe you can choose to be a green dragon, a red dragon, a black dragon, a yellow dragon. You know, maybe you can choose to be the different aspect colors, but also then choose to be which side you want to be on.
Yeah.
Because why does it have to be restricted? With Pandaren, we've shown it doesn't have to be that way anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you can be the same color skinned Pandaren as another one and be on different sides.
It just feels like it feels like such inside baseball though, from a marketing perspective, when you were advertising that you can be a panda that made sense to everybody and their dog, when you were advertising that you could be stuff in Burning Crusade, the different races, and or, you know, goblins and werewolves.
I'm pretty sure if you allow someone to transform into a dragon, the patch trailer would literally be a dude transforming into a dragon and then them being like, you can play as a dragon.
Yeah.
And everyone would be like, oh my God.
Yeah, but see, this is the problem. It's just going to be some simple racial and nothing else. It's going to be, okay, I'm going to be a mage.
Well, maybe instead of it being a racial, maybe it is just a flying mount. But you can fly from level one. And you can, you just transform into a dragonkin, and then as you kind of level up, you become a more and more impressive dragon. To like the cap, you're like an aspect when you're flying around.
You're in a fight and you've got a hot key that has a 2-minute cooldown where you can turn into a dragon and throw a big fireball and then turn back into a dude again. You know?
Exactly. Why not?
Right.
Why not? And maybe you can slow fall. You know, so it's like, hey, there you go. No more accidental, damage from falling. You're a dragon. You can fly. There's lots of cool things you could do with it. And
It's interesting. That's an interesting idea. Thanks for that. We appreciate it. Again, you can call us
801-471-0462.
Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to play it on the show. Let's jump straight into this.
The drop of the week.
Drop of the week this week brought to you by LFG and the Fork of Truth, a Kickstarter going on right now. If you know the LFG comic and you know that you want to support this, it's a video game called LFG and the Fork of Truth, and it looks really, really damn cool. 4-player co-op RPG. You can play solo if you want, if you don't have any friends. I hope you do have friends. They've got some early bird slots left. They're $5 off. Way better than a kick in the pants. Tons of cool rewards, including some that allow you to design weapons, NPCs, bosses, and more. They've got video up there. You can see all this cool stuff, concept stuff, and actual video of this thing happening. PC, Mac, Linux. You have no excuse not to play it when you get it. The Kickstarter ends on the 19th, so it's coming up soon. Just search for Fork of Truth on Kickstarter today.
That's you got a week.
Yeah. LFG and the Fork of Truth. Fantastic stuff. Thanks, guys, for supporting the show. And you guys should support them because these are our people. That's LFG and the Fork of Truth. All right. Drop of the week this week. Hearthstone replica board found within the World of Warcraft file. Somebody data mined this out.
This is cool.
It's awesome. I assume this will be a reward or some engineering thing, or nobody knows at this point.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a reward for buying the game. and you got the ability to lay down a ball in the game.
Sure.
You know, a nice little tie-in. I mean, it kind of looks like the old TCG, you know, loot decks and loot rewards, you know, where you'd have a kind of cool, quirky little thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, people are saying, like, oh, does this mean we can play
no.
Hearthstone in WoW? No, I don't think so. No. Not for a long time.
No. I don't think they... There have been other stuff, and we were going to talk about it on the show, but I cut it. But there's a lot of stuff about why can't we just play it the way we used to play Bejeweled or whatever. And the point, I think the Hearthstone within World of Warcraft, I don't think that makes sense to me. That seems like a weird, that's a weird hole to go down.
Well, that being said, have you ever played Final Fantasy VIII?
Yeah.
That had like a battle card game mechanic as part of it.
That's so true.
Kind of roaming around and you go up to someone in a tavern and be like, let's play cards.
Yeah, but it's more like a mini game. Like you did this in Red Dead Redemption.
I kind of feel like, you know, WoW could still support that.
Well, it could. Yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And equally, with an in-game store, I could buy boosters. You know, there's lots of ways they can integrate them. But I don't think it's coming day one. But equally as well, maybe they're just putting it in WoW so that we all know about Hearthstone.
Yeah, not a bad
idea. And you're like, what are those NPCs doing in Goldshire Inn? Mm-hmm. No, not the ones upstairs, the ones downstairs. They're playing Hearthstone. What's Hearthstone? Oh, you haven't heard about the newest game from Blizzard Entertainment? You know, I could equally be just that as well.
Yeah.
So
beta should have been out by now. What's going on over there? I thought betas, they said summer.
Blizzard being Blizzard, isn't it? They're just polishing it some more. Stop polishing it so much, Blizzard.
Yeah,
just
let's
give us it.
Play this damn thing.
My standards of quality have been lowered by the internet so much.
Yeah.
I don't care about super HD stuff. I care about good stuff.
Right.
And I'm sure it plays well. I don't care if like some of the art is placeholder or like, I don't know.
Oh.
It crashes every now and then. Maybe I do care about that.
They had a little community get together in Anaheim the weekend before Nerdtacular, which just didn't work for me, so I couldn't go. But apparently, those guys who did go, Pat and a few other friends of the show, got to play while they were there, and they're talking about how damn polished it is. Well, it's a beta time, man. Let's get a beta out. That was the goal. We're now in the thick of summer. I realize we got maybe through August before we can stop saying it's summer, but. It makes me nervous that we haven't seen it this soon. That means we're going to see, you know, I don't want to go to BlizzCon and finally get to play it. I want to play it before that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Anyway, so there you go. Check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. Quick contest. We are going to give somebody, some lucky dude in the chat room, a code for a Blossoming Ancient. This donated to us by Joshua Trippett. I've had a few of these lately to give out. If you do not have this in the chat, let yourself be known real quick, and I'll pick one of you at random. So here they go. Lots of, hey, what? A nice what? Okay, great. I'm going to pick the name Derigar. Derigar, you are the big random winner. I'm putting it in your private message in the IRC so you can pull that up.
He sounds like a true member of the Horde.
You want to go redeem that on your Battle.net account. I'm not your tech support, so Google how to do it.
Figure it out.
No problem, Derigar. Congratulations. Thanks, man. And thanks again to Joshua Trippett for that. Leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love it. We love it when you guys go do that. We'll read some more of those next week, but very excited about that. Special thanks this week goes out to somebody who wrote this. Dear Scott, Dills, and Terpster, I love a shout out for my new YouTube channel dedicated to WoW called Drimmy EU, DRJIMMY, like DR. Oh, I guess Dr. Jimmy, but it's all one word.
Yeah, it's Dr. Jimmy.
There you go. EU is the name of the channel, and it's home to a host of PvP, rare mobs, cool items, and other random videos. Thank you very much for the epic podcast. You are very much welcome. And
Dr. Jimmy.
Go check it out, Dr. Europe. Jimmy. That's right. Europe, listen, if you're going to make a YouTube channel and you're from Europe, I like your chances. I like them a lot better than some of these lame American ones. That's what I'm saying.
It's good.
Also, as always, at GameTimeZone.com, use the code INSTANCE for 5% off. Oh, that's it. I wish Nerdtacular would have just lasted a month, but it couldn't happen.
That'd be good.
But it was really great having you there, Terpster. Anything going on in your life you want people to be aware
pleasure
of?
Pleasure was all mine. Nope.
Just stuff. Nope. Just working.
Just working hard, working for a living.
Next time you'll be in the States, it'll be November, yeah?
It'll be BlizzCon.
Yeah.
It'll be crazy.
Yeah.
Cannot wait, though.
Feels like a long ways
off. You know
what?
It feels like long enough, Scott. That's the nice thing about traveling. Is it feels like a lovely time away.
Yeah. But a week and a half between E3 and then us, that was not probably enough.
That was pretty brutal. That wasn't fun really for me. But yeah. It was worth it. Yeah. And that should go a long way to kind of demonstrate how fun it is.
Absolutely. He is the
Bring on Nerdtacular 2014.
Indeed. And we'll make it even more awesome. The underscore T on Twitter. So go check him out. One quick note. I wanted to acknowledge this. I think it's important. And something I wanted to bring up on our first show back. We have constantly over the last few years been in a kind of top 10 struggle back and forth. Sometimes we're up, sometimes they're up, but a kind of back and forth, very friendly competition with the guys over at Giant Bomb the Giant Bomb cast. And it's been fun. And the interactions I've had with Ryan Davis via email and otherwise have been very light and competitive and interesting and good conversations about how we always seem to be sort of battling it out on those charts. Sadly, the week of Nerdtacular, in fact, the third, Ryan died suddenly, and it's a loss to podcasting. It's a loss to gaming. Mm-hmm. It's a loss to gaming podcasting specifically, and moreover, a loss in life to those that he cared about and loved. He'd only been married a little less than a week. There was a lot going on in his life, and it's pretty tragic. And we wanted to at least make mention of it. And we miss good, talented people who push this particular medium further and faster. Ryan was one of them, and even though those guys will continue on and continue to do great work, he will surely be missed. So anyway, all our best to his family and those that knew him and loved him the most. It's going to do it for us, folks. If you want to find out more about Matthew Oxley, who does our theme music, you can find him at MatthewOxley.com. He had a birthday today, so go help him celebrate.
Happy birthday, Matthew Oxley.
Pretty awesome. We love what he does for the show. Huge thanks to him, as always. Oh, gosh, what else? Paul Swick doing our internship, doing great, doing show notes and stuff, which you can find that, including forums and everything else, at theinstance.net. That's theinstance.net. On Twitter, we're at Instance Show. You can find me at Scott Johnson, Dills at Willie Dills, and Terpster, of course, at the_T. On Facebook, we're at /theinstance. You can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, and for Terpster, and for the probably throat-clearing Dills.
Like that.
We'll see you next time. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Exactly. It's amazing, isn't it? No, I'm listening to the essence. Like that. That's what you have to do.
It's not offensive
very
at all.
Questionably offensive.
Courageous newscaster hunted for speaking out. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. From the moment that OGN broke the story of how SI7 was conducting a massive spying operation on all Alliance citizens, this newscaster has been pursued by shadowy operatives determined to silence any further leaks regarding the spy agency's questionable, if not illegal, snooping. It wasn't long after our first report on the subject that I was forced to flee the ODN studios, and my silence the past 2 weeks has been due to the need for me to travel constantly across Azeroth to keep ahead of the spies. I'm currently broadcasting from the transit lounge at the flight point in Gadgetzan, as the goblins here do not have an extradition treaty with the Alliance. My hope is to find a place soon that will grant me asylum and allow me to continue my work in bringing you the unvarnished truth about goings-on in Azeroth. I thought I had a promising lead last week from a mountain kingdom in a distant land called Snowbird, but the airfares were exorbitant, and for some reason every inn and hostel was booked solid. So my search continues. Whatever happens, you may rest assured, faithful listeners, that I will not be cowed, rather intimidated, by the minions of SI7. Remember, while it seems likely that Hellscream's eyes will soon no longer be upon you, the gaze of Rin can be just as penetrating no matter how benevolent he claims it is. In the fight against Garrosh and the Corcoran, beware that you do not sacrifice more than you gain. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hey everybody, it's Amy J. And today I'm going to do something a little bit different. While I like to think of it as vocal stylings, I'm sure most of you will think of it as caterwauling. But nonetheless, my message is a positive one today for all of my brethren warlocks out there. because I've been reading the PTR notes and I've been to the forums. And believe me, it's not all doom and gloom out there. Because if you're like me, you fell in love with the Warlock class, not because of a particular spell, but because of the notoriety of our DPS, the infamy of our survivability, and the cleverness with our utility. Woo! You see, I might be an old Warlock, but with old age comes experience. And with experience comes perspective. And trust me, if there's one thing I've got, it's a lot of perspective. Ooh, 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 ooh. I know it might get kind of hard. See, when you log in the PTR and find that things are foobar. Well, trust me, I'm an old Warlock who happens to know that the buffs and nerfs, man, I'm gonna tell you right now, they come and go with the Warlocks. Whoa, 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 whoa. Talking to the Warlocks, yeah. I mean, what class could survive a revamp? But Warlocks, whoa, 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 whoa. Talking to the Warlocks, yeah. All right, great. Oh, I like that bass. See, let me tell you a story about a long time ago when Warlocks were OP and Blizzard said, oh no, then we got hit and nerfed to the ground. But being clever locks, we found a workaround. Drain light became the filler and we thought it was mended. Then a dev said, no, that's not what we intended. I remember the days when I had a bag full of shards and Miffy proc Doom Rider proc the Doom Guard. The Wrath got launched and hate became the thing. Everyone wanted Destro because that was the king. Well, at least until the next patch, and then it all changed again. And you know, I remember we used to have to throw out Banes. And then, of course, you had to mana tap at just the right time when Haunt returned back to you. Otherwise, it was a waste of health and mana. It wasn't good. And I remember you had to be spot on in refreshing your dots. Otherwise, if you even clipped it a little bit, you had a major DPS loss. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, hey, guys, any changes Blizzard makes, well, it's going to happen. But you kind of adapt and overcome because you're Warlocks. Hey, play your Warlock today. And, you know, just be glad you didn't know yourself a mage. I mean, everyone knows Arcane's, what, two buttons anyway? So log on in and have some fun on your Warlock. Whoa, 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 talking to the Warlocks, yeah. I mean, who else looks as good at being bad but Warlocks? Whoa, 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 talking to the Warlocks, yeah. All right, great. So whether we're going to be casting turrets or stutter casters or we have to shoot and scoot, it doesn't matter. We're Warlocks. We're going to adapt, overcome, and survive. And remember, threats of violence on the forums will be taken seriously, and who wouldn't blame Blizzard for that? I mean, come on, we're Warlocks!
Epic Diapers.
Hey everybody, it's Six, and I just got back from Nerdtacular, and boy is my liver tired. No, really, I just wanted to say it was a spectacular Nerdtacular. Big props to Scott Johnson, his family, his friends, the producers, everybody who helped throw it. It was just absolutely incredible. I've come back with a renewed sense of fire, and I really want to get back into the podcasting world as much as I had been before and even take it to the next level. I also wanted to thank some of the producers that I was able to talk to and garner advice from. Including the Spagnolas, Justin Robert Young, Starman, Terpster, Adam from MattCast, and many others. Also, a big shout out to my Ray team, Abovan, Aludra, Jestar, others. I miss you all, and I hope to be back raiding in the fall, so it was good to see you guys. Also, many of the community members that I met, including Coda Nevermore. She made the first, second, and third place necklaces out of these 20-sided die for the pool tournament that Dills and I ran, so that was pretty cool. I also wanted to mention the party people, such as Gomez, because he always likes to say that. No, but seriously, Bloody Lock, Samantha Jane and the Shotsky. Really good video of that, by the way. I'll post it at some point. Jocelyn, a.k.a. GIS Gamer, and her husband Joel. Johnny Feisty, Stupid Genius, Miss Mulgra, Palel, Mahogan. It goes on and on. I'm sure there are many others, but I only have 90 seconds, so I can't really list everybody. But I hope I can come back to Nerdtacular next year. And if it's at Snowbird, I might even bring my family. But, man, I'm ready to go. Also, don't forget to check out my parenting podcast called Kids Are Hard or my San Francisco Giants podcast called TortureCast that I do with Dills. And, man, they're playing like crap right now, so maybe you shouldn't listen. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Epic Diapers or check out my blog and old audio segments at EpicDiapers.com. And I hope to see you online. Thanks a lot, guys. Had a blast.
Aludra the Mage here, helping you find the pets, upgrade the pets, and battle the pets, because this is fun! It's summer, and you know what that means. Well, yeah, sun, sand, and Stranglethorn. But it also means the Karaji Gardling is spawning. If you want to catch one of these level 15 to 17 humanoids, you have to fly all the way out to southern Syphilis, where the AQ raids are. They most commonly seem to spawn around the AQ 40 area, meaning the stairs and the landing in front of the raid portal. But they can also spawn over by the summoning stone and along both sides of the scarab wall. If you've heard the horror stories about the camp, don't worry. Blizzard has upped the spawn rate. Yay! So go get one at your earliest convenience, because they are only around until the winter solstice. If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at aludra_AIE. And for more Battle Pet information, head on over to battlepet.net.
Evil Shoes?
Evil Shoes.
Evil Shoes.
Hey everybody, it's Evil Shoes, and we are keeping it epic in a world of grays. Alright, tip number one, internet. Get it. Come on folks, don't sleep on this one. You gotta have internet. Have you ever tried to log in without it? It barely works. I suggest a monthly subscription with a local provider. Tip number two, Wi-Fi versus wired. Alright, I know what you're thinking. Wi-Fi is convenient. I can play WoW on the toilet. Well, here's the thing though. I don't know if you're like me, but every once in a while I tend to wipe the raid. I don't know, maybe once, twice a night. But the thing is, you can't be held accountable for, you know, lagging out. So if you ever find yourself in a position where you've accidentally wiped the raid, just pull that cord and blame the lag.
Oh, I DC'd.
You can't do that with Wi-Fi. If you got a question for Evil Shoes, you can email me at epicevilshoes@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at epicevilshoes.
Evil Shoes.
Hello there, this is Pac, and welcome to the stable. In this segment, we go over rare mounts and exotic hunter pets that Azeroth has to offer. Today, we'll be going over the Netherwing Drake mount. This is easily one of my favorite mounts that I have. This is a rep grind mount that requires you to be exalted with the Netherwing faction in Shadowmoon Valley in the Outlands. You will want to find a NPC wandering around the Netherwing fields named Mordenai. Now keep in mind, it's best to do this with epic flying since you won't be able to get the dailies without it. Also keep an eye out while you're doing those dailies for the Netherwing eggs that spawn all around. There's no limit to these turn-in and they can bring you up to 250 rep each egg. I do thank you for listening today, and if you enjoyed the segment, follow me on Twitter at PAKKUAN_AIE. And tweet me your favorite mount or pet that you would like to see in the next segment. Thank you, and happy hunting.
Greetings. I am Victorcus, Draenei Paladin, Lore Master and Librarian of the Archives of Azeroth. Since arriving on the Exodar, I have strived to learn as much as there is to know about the factions and history of this world, and what better place to begin our sessions than with those who share that same goal, the Lorewalkers of Pandaria. Led by Lorewalker Cho, the Pandaren and Jinyu Lorewalkers explore the world, gathering relics and inscribing scrolls to fill their great libraries, and they are very generous to any adventurers who aid them. Adventurers of both the Alliance and the Horde will encounter Cho shortly after arriving in Pandaria, and as they explore the continent, there are many artifacts and scrolls to be found, for which the Lorewalkers will be quite appreciative. As you help them build a history of the continent of Pandaria, return from time to time to visit Cho in the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. When you bring him enough information, he will have some fascinating stories to share with you. Thank you for listening. Next week you will hear from my colleague. Let me warn you, he can be rather hasty at times. I will return the following week. Until then, may the light embrace you.
Revageek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azrothian Heroes.
Real Azrothian Heroes.
today. We salute you, Mr. I was on a break.
Mr. I was on a break.
We get it. You can't play WoW all of the time. So you saw what else was out there. You wandered the wastes and protected Gotham City.
The Pip-Boy meant nothing.
And now you just want to come back and pick up where you left off. It's not that easy after what you did with the Catwoman, with Megaton, and the girl from the coffee place.
Ask your parents.
Now you're targeting when you meant to check the map. The camera isn't moving with your mouse all the time. Oh, and you're doing pretty little pirouettes in the fire when you meant to strafe.
It burns when I dee.
So crack open an ice cold Noggin Fogger Elixir. You multiple gaming forgetting your training. It's not the saming player. Remember, you can't save from the last checkpoint anymore.
Ooh, mister, I was on a break.
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace on iTunes.
Arcanum, a word whose definition is shrouded in mystery itself. What a coincidence that the word also describes the world in which many of us call home. Mysterious, many of Azeroth's tales shrouded in mystery and not known to many. But come, sit around the campfire and listen to her tales on the all-new Arcanum of Azeroth. Find out more at arcanumpodcast.wordpress.com or download the show on iTunes.
Greetings and welcome to Slashgrats. I'm your host, Efink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft. This week's achievement is Manted Swarm. The goal here is to defeat Rhaegon without killing any of the Manted reinforcements. This is one of those situations where you're not going to worry about the ads, as a DPS, of course. You're not going to have to worry about everyone yelling at you, ads, ads, no, no. That's actually going to be the tank's job. So let the tank collect all those ads. While he's doing that and kiting the boss, send the DPS up, take down that weak spot. Once the weak spot's down, it might take a couple rotations there. You know, kill the boss. If anyone gets that screeching swarm debuff, have someone dispel that. If you don't have anyone dispel that, about 10 seconds later, you can see these red rings on the ground. If you're standing in those red rings, more ads. And you get to get a little more overwhelmed. So just keep an eye on that. So keep all those reinforcements up. Kill the boss. Have the tank worry about the ads and the boss. It's a lot of work. Throw some stuns in there, you'll be able to run around. If you do this correctly, you will get the achievement Manted Swarm, because the swarm, they're all still there, and 10 points. Past segments and notes are at slashgrats.com. You could follow me on Twitter at efinkg4. Good luck, and I'll see you next week.
Welcome to the Science of Warcraft. This week, the nature of magic. This is an often avoided question for any fantasy realm. What is magic? Many of you may think of midichlorians with this question, but it also needs defining because of the mechanics behind it all. Where does magic come from? What is controlling it? Just as importantly, is there a counterpart to magic? Let's review what we do know about magic. It is essentially massless. You can accumulate and use a lot of it, yet it takes no space. On the other hand, it produces light and can manipulate many other elements with ease. Usually, particles with a lot of energy are also very large, which would contradict the idea that it is massless. Then again, gravity has an effect. It just needs a large mass for that effect to be noticed. So in theory, magic can easily be manipulated to work in mass. One possibility is that magic could be a new unknown particle, or it could be a known particle with currently unknown properties. This is a case where science may not have a good answer. Then again, our own universe has a large number of unanswered questions. Send your own thoughts on this topic to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. today's question is, how can I keep from missing all the friends I met at Nerdtacula? Aha! I, too, have attended this Nerdtacular meeting of the humans. The dwarves must have heard that an orc would be there, since they tried to tunnel into the canyon not once, but twice. All they managed to do was to knock down a few rocks and make a mess of the roadway. If they practiced more tunneling and less sampling of their own ales, they might be more dangerous. To keep from missing your friends, I suggest that you count. Start at a large number, like 364, and count down until you see your friends again. Or just count down from 5 and attack the boss. As always, hunters can go at 3. I am Miss Mongra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mongra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmongra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!